Okay, let's go ahead and we'll start the class right now. We'll just start with a word of prayer. Praise you, Father. We worship you, Lord, and we thank you right now. Father, I thank you for each and every person here tonight, Father, that they're blessed abundantly, Father, that every spiritual blessing which you have provided is theirs right now because they're in your family. They belong to you, Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you'll teach each and everyone here tonight about covenants. What is a covenant? And how that covenant was ratified or brought to being through your Son, Jesus. I just thank you, Father, that you just use me right now, Father, to speak forth your words as you'd have them taught right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's start out with our memory verse. It's Deuteronomy 7:9. Deuteronomy 7:9. I believe Christine wrote it up here. Deuteronomy 7:9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Just look at this right now and meditate on it. This is what you are to memorize and to know. And we're going to get into that. That's going to be our second question. And we'll get into a little bit more on that scripture just in a few minutes. I'd like to read this statement here that each and every one of you have. It says, "The everlasting covenant is that covenant made in eternity before time began in the councils of the eternal Godhead between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was made before the creation of man and the entrance of sin into the human race. It embodies, as an all-encompassing covenant, God's complete plan involving creation and redemption." Let's go to question number one. It says, define the word covenant. A lot of you have heard probably the word covenant, but don't know what it means. The word covenant in the Hebrew is birath. It means to cut and to make clear. And I was really having a hard time with this, the word to cut. I go, covenant. I go, I just don't understand what it means, like to cut and to make clear. If you look at Jesus, what Jesus did for us, it says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus Christ had to be cut, and that blood had to flow for the covenant to become ratified or put into being. Covenant, it means like, have you heard the term to cut a deal? That term that people use, I want to cut you a deal. That comes from the word covenant. It means compact also, the word compact. It means a binding together of two who were apart. In other words, if you and I were enemies, a covenant would bring us together and bind us together as one. Because we are making an agreement which otherwise could not have been made before. And usually a covenant involves blood. Old times, they're even still doing it now in Africa, where a greater tribe and a lesser tribe, they would get together. Because the lesser tribe or the smaller tribe does not want to be overtaken by the large tribe. So they cut a covenant. Usually the chief or someone who stands in proxy for the chief, they'll come together and this person will step forward and they'll cut the blood of the weaker tribe and the one of the stronger tribe, they'll cut the blood and they'll put it in a cup. And they'll usually mix it with some wine or some type of drink and they'll mix it up and they both drink a little bit. Showing that the two become one. The lesser tribe receives everything from the strong tribe, and the strong tribe receives everything that it might require of the lesser tribe. The two become one. So it's a mutual agreement between two parties. Okay, it's a mutual consent or agreement between two or more persons. In the Word of God, it's usually the promise of God to man, usually carrying a condition to be fulfilled by man. For example, it says, call upon the Lord and you shall be saved. Okay, in order to be saved, what do we have to do? There's a condition that has to be met. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. So it's usually a promise of God to be saved, you have to meet the condition. And the condition is call upon the name of the Lord. So we see here that the promise of God to man, and it usually carries with it a condition to be fulfilled by man. Okay, the word covenant also means an agreement or a will. Like you hear a lot, the New Testament and the Old Testament. It really means the New Covenant or the Old Covenant. And that same word means will. And every one of us know what a will is. Some of us even have wills written. A will is when you pass away, it tells what to do with your estate. God right here, He promised to us redemption. He promised that a long time ago. He even promised that to us when Eve, Adam and Eve sinned, that Eve's seed would bruise that serpent's head. Okay, that's when the covenant had started. That's when God spoke the promise into being. So it means a will. Okay, define the word covenant. The word covenant means to cut. It's a compact, binding two together that would not normally be together, bringing the two together as one. It's a mutual agreement. It's a consent. Let's go to number two. With whom does God keep covenant with? Who does God keep covenant with? It's our memory verse up there, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. I'm going to read it again. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. It says it right here with who He keeps it with. With them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Okay, the first part of this verse, the first word in there, it says know. It wants you to know something. Know therefore that the Lord thy God. In order for Him to be thy God, you need to be in the family. Jesus Christ needs to be your Lord. And it says, He is God. It's making a statement there about God. That word there means He is Elohim. He is the true God. There is none else, only Him. He is God. The next statement, the faithful God. That word faithful, it means He's firm, stable, and you can lean on Him. Isn't that great? We've got a God we can lean on, we can trust on, we can rely on. It says that He is unshakable, and He is sure and certain in all that He does. He is completely trustworthy, and He's able to support you up and bear you in His arms. That's what it means to be a faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. In other words, God's not going to break His word. What He says He's going to do, He's going to do it. He's not going to break His word. What God said in His word, He will perform that on your behalf. With them that love Him. This word love here, it means those that desire and breathe after or long for. It's like the scripture says, as the deer pants for water, how my soul longs for you. It's a longing, it's a panting, a desiring of the Lord. What did Jesus say in Matthew? He says, those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. This is what this kind of love is. It's a hungering. It's a thirsting after God. That's what kind of love. Those that hunger and thirst after Him. Those that desire and long for Him. And keep His commandments. What does that word keep mean? It's like a keeper of the gate. The shepherd over the flock. The watchman over the city. That's what kind of keep that word means there. He that is watching and he that is on his guard. That's how we are with the Word of God. You lift this Word of God, the standard, the Word of God is your standard, and you lift it high in your life. That when anything comes against the Word of God in your life, you guard it like a guard would guard a city or a shepherd his flock. You guard that Word. You protect that Word. When something comes in contrary to it, you reject it. Say, no, this is what the Word of God says. I keep those standards high in my life. That's what we're supposed to do with the Word of God. We desire it. And yet when we receive it, we hold it high. We esteem it high in our life. That's who God keeps covenant with. Those who are hungry and thirsting after righteousness. And those, once they receive the Word of God, they're not going to let it go. And they're not going to compromise it for anything. That's if you're taking a stand for healing and you get a symptom. What are you going to do? Are you going to believe the symptom or are you going to believe the Word of God? The Word of God says by His stripes we've been healed. And you stand on it till you see the manifestation of it in the name of Jesus. So that's who God keeps covenant with. With those that love Him and keep His commandments. Like I said, those that desire and breathe after God and long for Him. And guard and keep His word as a watchman over a city. You're hot for the Lord. In very simple terms, you're hot for God. Jesus said, I would that you be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, He's going to vomit you out of His mouth. See, if you're cold, He can do something with you. If you're lukewarm, it means like you don't really care about anything. You know the Word of God. Yeah, I know what the Word says. Tomorrow. No, you get lukewarm about it. But when you're hot, nothing gets in your way. You're fervent. You're zealous for the Lord. And you're going to continue on no matter if anybody goes with you or not. And you're going to let everybody know along the way. Be hot for God. Hallelujah. Let's go to number 3. Do we have an everlasting covenant with God? Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 38 to 40. Jeremiah 32, 38 to 40. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them to do them good. But I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Do we have an everlasting covenant with God? Yes, we do. We sure do. It's to those that belong to Him. It says it's an everlasting covenant here, which means it's a perpetual, it's an eternal covenant. It goes on and on and on without end. It says right here that He says that He will be our God and He will give them one heart and one way. That means He's going to give us the same intent, the same direction, the same purposes and will that He Himself has. Our desires become His desires. Our way becomes, His way becomes our way. Okay, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord, His way becomes our way. His truth becomes our truth. His life becomes our life. You see, we line ourselves up to do what He wants us to do. It says that He will give us one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. Fear me. The first word, when you look that up, it means to tremble. Have you just thought of the awesomeness of God? Just look around at the world and the universe and how minuscule that we look in it all. Doesn't that just want to make you just fear and tremble before Him? That word fear means to stand in awe. Have you ever seen something like, especially like when you're a little kid and you just went, wow, you just stood there. You couldn't say anything. That's standing there in awe. You're just overcome by it. You're taken by it. That's what it means to fear God, to stand in awe of God. for what He has and what He wants to do for us and what He has done for us, what He has created. Just look around at all creation and see what God has done, and it will make you stand in awe. It will make you stand in the fear of Him forever. It says that we stand in profound respect for Him. A profound respect. I get so mad at people at work when they say the last part of God and they use "damn it" on the end. That just eats me up on the inside. And I saw somebody with a bumper sticker that says, "God's last name is not damn it." You know, we as Christians need to take a stand in this world we live in. We say that we're called of God, we're chosen of God, and the greater one lives within us. We got to let other people know that and minister the love of God. When somebody's in error, it's up to us to let them know. You see, Christianity is a very verbal thing. And the only way another person is going to know about the Lord Jesus Christ is if we walk up to him and minister to him. "Hey, listen, God's last name is not damn it." And this one guy, he goes, "Oh, you're religious?" And it just opened up a big door for me to start ministering to this guy. He didn't even realize what he was saying.
"Well, I've just was confirmed a Catholic about 6 months ago. I had to do it to get married." You know, and he goes around talking like this. But see, it opened a door for me to minister to him. And now when he's got free time, he comes up to me and he speaks to me. But it's up to us. We have to speak. That's the only way you and I got saved, was because somebody told us about Jesus. Do we have an everlasting covenant with God? Yes, we do. Why? It says right here, for the good of them. Why did He establish all this? For the good of you and I. For the benefit of you and I. That word here, it means for the well-being, for the well-off, so that you and I would be happy. That's why God did all this. Because He knows that in our sinful condition, what would happen to us if we would die in it? And He says, "No, I don't want that. I don't want that for these people. I want them to be my children." So He set into effect a covenant, a will. And we're going to find out that Jesus Christ met those demands, so you and I could live in the good of this will. And it's not only for us, it says right here, to the children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And here again it says, to do them good. God wants to do us good. He doesn't want to do us wrong. He's not sitting up there with a baseball bat ready to club us when we do something wrong. He wants to reveal it to our heart so we'll openly confess it and get rid of it. But a lot of us have this misconception of God, that He's a big old guy on a big white throne with gray hair with a baseball bat, ready to hit us when we do wrong. No, He's a merciful and loving Father, wanting to meet our needs. But when we do wrong, He's going to let us know. And at times we need to be chastened and we need to be chastised. We too need the rod of correction. And God will give it to us. We just have to be open and ready to receive it. But I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. If you look up that "depart from me," it talks about to turn aside or to go away from. In other words, you once were lost and you turned, you repented and you turned to God through Jesus Christ. And He puts His fear in us so that we know, we comprehend, we understand everything that we have in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to go back. He doesn't want us to turn aside again. Because in that definition of that word "depart," it means He does not want us to return again to calamity, to confusion. He doesn't want us to go back there. You see, He puts that fear in our heart to do us good. He doesn't want us again to turn to the way in which we were before. He wants us to stay with Him and in His presence. So we do have an eternal, perpetual covenant. When God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, we received ever lasting life, a perpetual, eternal covenant. Let's go to number four. What has God promised to give us? Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. What has He promised to give us? Praise God, I like this. He says here, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take out the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. He says here, a new heart also will I give you. A new heart, a new nature. You see, when you became born again, it says that we received the new birth. We were born again. You see, there's two natures. The nature that we're born with has a bent toward doing wrong, a bent toward evil. It's a nature. Like when a child is born and he starts to grow up, do you have to teach him to do good or teach him to do bad? You got to teach him to do good. Because right away, I saw this and I remembered it as plain as day. A little child, I think he was 14 months old. His dad said, don't touch that. 14 months old now. Don't do that. And they just looked at him. As soon as the dad turned away, he kept his eye on his dad, and he's crawling, and he puts one hand up and reaches. You see, the nature is there not to do right. See, it's just the nature. He says that He's going to give us a new heart, the new creation. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, see, when you're in Jesus Christ, you have received Jesus Christ as Lord. He is a new creation. You've got a bent toward doing right now. See, your bent, your heart, your desire, your nature is that to please God now than not to please Him as it was before. See, you're a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's the new nature. That's the new heart that He gives you. And He says, and a new spirit will I put within you. You see, Jeremiah here is prophesying of the time that Jesus would come and do this. But Jesus Christ had to die first. I want to read you the words of Jesus. He says, a new spirit will I put within you. Whose spirit is that? Let's go to John 14, 15 through 17. See, the last part here says, and cause you to keep my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Verse 15 of John 14 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper or comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. You see, the world cannot receive this new spirit that God wants to give us, or that God has given us and wants to give them. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you. You see, at this point in time, the Spirit of God was with them. And Jesus continues to say, and will be in you. Jesus Christ had to die first, and after He died, and He appeared again to the disciples, He told them to go to Jerusalem and tarry ye there till you receive the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, which came on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2:4, when they were all in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came, they, at that moment,
were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this scripture here was fulfilled. A new spirit will I put within them. At that moment and at that time, the Spirit of God came down. The promise of the Father entered into them. And from that moment on, it has gone through all generations till this time. And each and every one of us have that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God come, live, and abide within us. Because it goes on here to say in Ezekiel, and I will put my Spirit within you. That's the Holy Spirit of God. He's going to put within us. And cause you to walk in my statutes. Verse 23 of John 14 says, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come and make to him and make our home. See, it says here, if you love him, you'll keep his words. We'll walk in those commandments. We'll walk in those statutes. We'll do them. It's our nature now to do them. You know, when you mess up, when you sin, you know it. You know it. You're edgy. You don't feel right. Everything's not going right. Where did I mess up? God shows you. You repent and you continue walking into statutes and commandments again. It's just a flowing. It just flows. Believe me, when I know I'm wrong, I know I'm wrong. My whole family knows I'm wrong. I mean, it's evident and it shows. Now, we don't want to be like that. Okay, so what has God promised to give us? The new birth and the promise of His Spirit. So we have that new heart, which is bent toward God or bent toward doing righteousness now. And we have His Holy Spirit living and abiding within us to keep His Word. Let me ask you a question. Those of you who received Jesus Christ as Lord and didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was it kind of hard to walk the Christian life? I had a terrible time. I couldn't do it. Till somebody finally ministered to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I received power from on high. Boom! Sent me on my way. I tell you, it's been the way's up. You know, the way's narrow, and there's some bumps along the road there. I'm not saying it's been all perfect, but I'm victorious in every situation and circumstance with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go to number 5. A covenant needs a live sacrifice. Who was ours? Okay, before we go to 1 Peter, let's read Genesis 22, verse 8. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. This is talking about Abraham and Isaac here. I'm going to start with verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. And the two of them went together. What I want you to see here, that God does provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Jesus Christ is the lamb. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. God provides a lamb. Verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers,
but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It says right here that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You cannot buy your salvation. You cannot pay for your salvation. There wasn't any works that you could have done but accept, repent, and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. There was no way that you could have worked to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord. It says right here that we were not redeemed, we were not bought back with corruptible things. God didn't send down to the devil. He didn't say, okay, devil, let me see. How much gold do you want? How much of this earth do you want so I can have my people back? No, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. It says right here that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. You see, I couldn't have died for my own sins. You couldn't have died for my sins. None of us lived a perfect life. It took somebody, as it says right here, a lamb without blemish and without spot. And it says right here that it was foreordained before the foundation of the world. God knew what was going to have to happen. He knew what it was going to have to take. And it says right here, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you. God gave His Son for you. You see, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He was provided for you and me. It's His blood that washes away our sins. You see, Jesus had no sin. He had no garbage. He had no junk. He had no trash. He was pure. Purity. That's who Jesus was. And that purity and that righteousness took on sin for you and I. You see, He did it all for us. Are you getting an appreciation for what Jesus has done for us? For the love of God that He has for you? This is the everlasting covenant. This is the pact. This is Jesus is the last will and testament. When Jesus died, everybody became free. But not everybody receives it. You see, there's a choice involved. There's a will decision. The word goes forth. Faith comes. It's up to us and everybody else that hears the word of God to make that decision. To receive or to reject. Jesus gave us an inheritance. Life eternal. Number 6. I answered my question already. Was Jesus our substitute? Ephesians 5, verse 2. Was Jesus our substitute? Yes, He is. And walk in love. So right here, we're given something to do. It says, walk in love. Then it's going to give us an example. As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus Christ is our substitute. You couldn't have been my substitute. I couldn't have been your substitute. I'm going to read you a scripture from the Word of God in Romans 5. Six through eight. It says, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. You see, there wasn't a righteous one around. Jesus Christ died for the ungodly because everybody was ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. It's saying here that you, as our natures were, more than likely, I wouldn't give myself to die for you the way I was before. Or you for me. Because it wasn't our nature to do it. It says maybe, perhaps,
for a good man, someone would even dare to die. I mean, it really had to be somebody really good that you thought really highly of that you would even consider giving your life for. But verse 8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the love of God. We didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it. Romans chapter 5, 6 through 8. It was undeserving, and He sent Jesus anyway. Because what? He saw to the future. He saw each and every one of you sitting here today. He saw you the day that you received Jesus Christ. And He looked forward to that day. And He says, yes, I'll send my Son. I'll send my Son for each and every one of you. Jesus loves each and every one of us beyond measure. There's no height, there's no depth to it. We'll never find the end of that love for us. It's a love covenant. It's a love gift. It's a love offering that He gave us. So Jesus Christ gave Himself to be our substitute, an offering, a sacrifice well-pleasing to God. Very well-pleasing. So let's walk in this kind of love. Let's demonstrate this kind of love. The love that doesn't look for anything of its own. It's a selfless love. To esteem others above ourselves. Let's walk in love. Number 7. What did the sacrifice of Christ establish? Hebrews 9:15. Hebrews 9:15. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament. This word testament also means covenant or will. He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that we were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. It says that for this cause He is the mediator. What is a mediator? What does it mean for somebody to be a mediator? A go-between. Somebody that's going to stand in the middle of. It says that Jesus represents God to man, and represents man to God. Jesus is the one in the middle. That also, there's another definition here. It says that He is our guarantee. Jesus secured something that could not have otherwise been obtained. You see, you and I could not have obtained salvation if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Because it says right here that He did this. He ratified or He established the New Testament or the New Covenant by means of death. He gave His life in order to establish this will. For the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament or Covenant. So what did the First Testament or the First Covenant establish? First off, it showed you that you were sin and you could not keep the law. Doesn't that say that in the Word of God? For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In Romans 3:20, Jesus Christ fulfilled that law on our behalf. He walked a sinless life. So when He gave His life by means of death, when He died, that will came into effect because He lived a sinless, pure life. Like I was saying before, to receive inheritance, there has to be a death. When you write up a will, the only way somebody can claim on that will is if you die. The will was written We have the Word of God. We have the will of God right here. Jesus Christ came and met the demands of that. He died that we could live.
What did the sacrifice of Christ establish? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ establishes the new covenant. That's what it establishes, the new covenant. With his death, the will was put into effect for whosoever will. And the last part of that verse, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. You see, the call, like I say before, the call has to go forth. The call went forth and we heard it. We're God's representative and we're God's spokesman here. I emphasize this so much because I believe that every believer, every teacher, every minister, every layperson is a soul winner for Jesus Christ. What you have experienced with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can share with someone else. It doesn't have to be on a street corner or up in a pulpit. It can be at lunchtime. It can be at your house over a cup of coffee. It can be to your neighbor next door. But each and every one of us are proclaimers of the gospel. Each and every one of us. Hasn't God given you, hasn't God done something for you so much that you wouldn't be able to share it with someone else? He's given you your very life eternally. And all he does and asks of you, share it.
Number 8. Did this sacrifice fulfill the law?
I'm going to start, instead of going to Hebrews 10:10, I'm going to start with Hebrews 9:22.
And according to the law, almost all things are purged or cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. You see, blood has to be shed in order for forgiveness to come. Innocent life, innocent blood has to be shed, has to be given in order for our sins or our mistakes to be covered up or to be washed clean. In the case of the Old Testament, innocent animals were used to cover the sins of the people. Didn't get rid of them, it covered those sins. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 now, verse 10 and 14.
By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. You see right here it says, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus, all he had to do it was one time. One time was enough. Jesus Christ doesn't have to come back down and die again. He did it once, forever, and eternal for everybody. I want to read verse 12 there also. 10:12.
But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You see, one sacrifice for sins. One sacrifice. Did this sacrifice fulfill the law? Yes. All the demands of the law were fulfilled to make us pure and holy, without sin, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and his blood cleanses us and purifies us. So we see here a covenant. We are in a covenant. We are in the new covenant. Jesus Christ's life was given that new covenant could be established. so that we could have the new nature, so that we could have the life of God, so that we could have God's Spirit come living and dwelling within us, so that we could be wrapped together with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could become one with Him. See, God made a promise to redeem mankind, to free man from the bondage of sin, to turn man from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. You see, this is what His goal was, to set us free. Jesus Christ is our last will and testament. Covenant means to cut. Jesus Christ was cut for you and I. His blood ran. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross for you and I. That blood had to flow so that we could be clean. Without blood, there is no remission of sins. There is no removal of sins. All that God has, He has given to us. And all that we have, we give to Him. That's part of covenant also. All that God has belongs to us now, and all that we have belongs to Him. God gave us His all when He gave us Jesus Christ. Now let's give Him our all, because we have Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. You know a little bit about covenant? Amen. I just learned a lot myself. I want to seal this up with prayer. Praise You, Jesus. Father, we are so eternally grateful for what You have done for us. Each and every one of us right now, just thank You, Father. Words can't even express the thanksgiving that we have for You. Because You sent us Jesus. You look down through all the sin and all the junk in our lives. And You sent us Jesus. We thank You, Father. Before the foundation of the world, You thought of us. And I thank You, Father, for that opportunity. When I heard the Word of God, that I received Jesus Christ as my Lord. And each and every one of my brothers and sisters here, Father. Thank You for Your Spirit living and abiding within us. Giving us power to become Your witnesses. And to walk this life set before us. For it is a joyful walk, Father. I thank You, Father, that the Word of God is sealed up in each and every one of these hearts here today. Each and every one of these people here, my brothers and sisters, this Word of God is in their heart to live it, to do it, and to share it. Seal it, Father. Holy Spirit, bring it to their remembrance. Don't ever let it go. I thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, praise God. I hope you've gotten a good... a basic foundation to go on this. You have the tapes on every one of these classes, scriptural outline on each one, to where you can go teach it yourself. And these things will be available in an album along with the outlines for each class and with the scripture right in front of you. If you have enough copies of that or make copies of it, the people don't even, if they don't have a Bible, they've got the scripture right in front of them and they don't have to look it up. And this will be a good beginning and a good foundation and all the basic principles that you need to begin your Christian walk. But don't make this an end. Now, this ought to be just the beginning of a habit of studying your Bible every day, opening this Bible up and looking up these scriptures again. Go through these several times until they really get down in your spirit. We've had to really cram in these hour lessons in order to give this to you, so I know you haven't been able to absorb it all. Go back through it again and again and again, and God will bless you all the way through. Amen.